and a warm welcome to the Blue Team Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. On this week's episode, we look back on the stunning comeback at Forfar, preview this week's two home games against Bonnie Rig Rose and Elgin City, and blue cars, will we actually see it in our game? Yes, welcome along to this week's episode of the Blue Team Podcast. I am Colin Byers, and as ever with me is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. How are you this evening?
Good evening, yeah, not too bad. Thanks, how are you?
Not too bad. Enjoying the fact that it's driving home in a bit of daylight now for a change.
It's actually a thing going to work in the morning, that's a bit of daylight coming in, so we're certainly starting to see the change now, aren't we?
We certainly are. Finer weather coming in as well, which is always a good thing. Which obviously the joys of spring will be coming in, which obviously means that we're coming towards the end of the season rapidly as well, unfortunately. I want to pick up on a couple of things that we didn't get a chance to touch on last week, because obviously we ran out a bit of time last week. We sort of did touch on it slightly. We had Jamie McNeil on last week, a really good guest last week, but I don't think we really sort of delved in too much with what he said and how he came across. We didn't get, as I said, much chance to kind of discuss. Really enjoyed the chat with him. I was really impressed with his enthusiasm. Seems eager. And I think that came across quite well last week on last week's podcast.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think I can't remember if we touched on it during the recording or whether it was just a chat afterwards. But we hardly got through half the notes that we normally do with our guests as well. That's a good thing. Jimmy spoke very well. You can tell he's definitely got a passion for it. He mentioned himself that he was never quite going to be cut out to be a football player with his height and lack of pace and everything. But coaching was for him, and you can tell the good work he's doing. He's also got his coaching stunt badges and everything as well that goes with it. So, yeah, really good guest to come on, and hopefully one that will be able to get back on in the future and, you know, delve a wee bit deeper into his coaching side.
Yeah, that was one thing we didn't really get a chance to talk about, is his coaching side of things he does. He's got Caleb Goldie there as well at Ultimate Soccer as well. He did kind of touch on it slightly, but yeah, it would be good to kind of get more into that kind of things as well. And you can see his passion for it, as you said. And what's interesting as well, even though he's still relatively young, he's built up quite a network, quite a backlog of contacts as well. And I think his reputation seems to be preceding him as well.
Yeah, he's got a very good reputation within the game, as we're certainly noticing as well. And he touched on there his contacts. That's a valuable thing to hate lower league clubs as well. You know, he's also got a few contacts that he knows within the game, and the time also he's had with Brechin and Kilty. And so, plus with the coaching that he does, he's certainly built up a network that you can maybe tap into. It's maybe Ryan and Jordan. I'm sure they've spoken about it before, but yeah, certainly something that they might tap into in the future.
And it works the reverse as well, because he sort of touched on it as well. He knew a few of the players at Peterhead before he joined as well, so they were able to sort of sell the club to him. I think Andy McCarthy was one that he sort of voiced it to him beforehand.
Yeah, that can only be a good thing. You know, people within the club that are able to sort of sell it as well. We came going from previous experience, and the guys that we've had on, they've all been very complimentary of the club and everything that they've done for them. So to have current players within the squad sort of selling the clubs is a really good thing.
Yeah, as you said, we didn't get through half the stuff. Hopefully, maybe it's at some point again, and maybe in the summertime we'll get him on for a much more in-depth chat and interview during the summertime. One other thing that sort of cropped up last week, again, we didn't get a chance to sort of discuss it, was the possibility, and I say possibility because it doesn't seem to be going anywhere, but you never know, is the possible introduction of blue cards instead of the yellow and red cards. I say it's received mostly negative feedback so far. Would be a bit of a understatement.
Yeah, it's an understatement. For me, it's a flat out no. Just implement the rules. You've got a yellow card for that reason. You know, it's sending a player off for 10 minutes. Just brandish the yellow card and he wouldn't do it again, because otherwise he gets a red card. I mean, they've got VAR, it's on the go, it's slightly different, but, you know, try and fix that first before you start introducing more and more things within the game. Because all that's going to happen, you give somebody a blue card, they can do it to 10 men, and the game almost becomes at a standstill, because the that team that goes down to 10 men realise, well, player A is coming back on in 8 minutes, let's just keep it tight for 8 minutes and we're back to a full complement. I don't think it benefits the game. It maybe stunts to your sense and your, how would you say, professional fouls that are a yellow, you know, in terms of taking one for the team. It maybe stops that, but if you apply the yellow card rule like they're meant to, I don't really see the need for a blue card. For me, it's a flat out, no.
But you mentioned that your professional fouls, taking one for the team, they should really be punished for a yellow. So actually, it might encourage more people to do things like that. We think, oh, well, I'll only be off for 10 minutes. Whereas I might get a while with not getting a second yellow, for instance.
Yeah, possibly. There was a podcast the other day, I can't remember if that was, and somebody said, so what happens if a goalkeeper gets a blue card?
Mm.
Is that an outfield player that goes in goals and then it becomes a disadvantage? Or, you know, how does it work? So I think with a wee bit of waff, I think they said they wanted to introduce it this summer, was it, for certain competitions?
So, yeah, for next season, yeah.
We were looking at, yeah, like I said, for me, it's a no. There's cards in place, there's rules there. I just don't think it's that well implemented by some of the officials that we've maybe got.
And you sort of touched on it there, but I think the one that stood out to me was Ange Postecoglou saying in his pre-match that, you know, the introduction of a blue card will only slow the game down. It will mean that, you know, the team is doing the 10 will just sit back, as you said. And his interesting point you said as well is that the other sports are trying their hardest to try and encourage new spectators, new fans to the sports. They're trying to make it quicker. And all it seems to be is that football, the rule makers are trying to slow it down.
Yeah, I mean, they've really slowed it down with VAR. I mean, we're at the stage now, we're checking if someone's toe is offside and we're taking 4 minutes to decide it. I thought it was meant to be clear and obvious. Now, Kane, folk will argue you're either offside or you're onside, but, you know, you go with on-field decision, you get three angles, 30 seconds, if you kind of decide, you move on. And I get why VAR's there. I don't really understand why blue cards are coming in. Like, I read the rules about it and why it's coming in, but for me, it's a hard no. I just don't see the point in it.
They said they want to cut out the dissent towards referees and things like that, but as I said for a long period of time, the referees seem to be demanding the respect for the players, whereas, you know, it needs to be earned. I think if referees are a bit more vocal in terms of, like, they're not obliged to sort of, you know, back up why they've made every decision, but just at least talk to the captain of a team or the manager of the team and just explain his situation rather than just completely blanking the players.
Yeah, I mean, they're saying they're trying to clamp out dissent, which is fair enough. There's got to be mutual respect, but that's what the yellow card's there for. If you were to try and encourage, you know, the referee gives a decision, the three or four players aren't happy with it, then get the captain or, as you rightly said, and explain, look, this is why I've done it. He'll relay it back to the team, or this is the route that they're going down. But so often now, years ago, the referees used to get interviewed, or certain games would do an interview with a referee afterwards or before a game. Now you kind of, even managers have said you can't even speak to a referee, their door's closed, they don't want to speak to them, they don't want to explain anything. And there's got to be a common ground. Not sure whether you see Nottingham Forest, they've appointed Mark Clattenburg as a referee's advisor or something. So he's come into Nottingham Forest and he's going to try and advise why Nottingham Forest decisions have gone against him based on his, you know, being an ex-referee and why it's happened, because they've had so many complaints to the FA this season. But surely you wouldn't have to do that if the referees just spoke mayor to players on the park. Like you said, they're trying to demand respect where it's earned, and, you know, previous year referees got that respect, whereas now, I don't think it's quite there.
Clattenburg not getting paid enough at Gladiators, like he needs to take the gig at Nottingham Forest as well.
Well, with his stint in China and Saudi Arabia, you'd think he would made a fair amount of money, but yeah, he's getting to Nottingham Forest.
It's maybe one of those kind of gigs where you just go, well, you don't need to pay me because I've heard enough. I'll just turn up as and when I like, you know. It's like almost like a freelance kind of thing.
So a typical referee's performance.
The other thing with the blue cards as well, is it will be, I guess, much like yellow cards as red cards, it will be down to the referee's decision what they deem to be a yellow or a red or a second yellow. Go back to yesterday's game, the Man United game. I mean, how Casemiro didn't get a pick up a second yellow in that game is beyond me. The referee just completely bottled it there. But, you know, it's an interpretation of the rules.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's a different interpretation, but did you see the red card yesterday for Sheffield United? Mm-hmm. The referee initially gave a yellow card. That's a straight red any day of the week, twice on a Sunday. But, I mean, you introduce blue cards and then you start getting... I just think there's rules there that need to be better implemented before you start introducing new cards.
It's a massive no for us. I don't think we'll ever see it in your game, but you never know. You can't feel like Doncaster is. He'll be the kind of guy, go, oh, yeah, we'll do it. We'll trial it. We'll be the first teams in. And it'll just be an absolute... nightmare.
Calamity. Yeah, it's got calamity written all over it.
Exactly. Right. Talking of calamity, let's go on to set of this game, doing it four. I mean, where do you start?
It's the proverbial game of two halves, eh?
Oh, just unreal. What I mean, it finished well and it finished on a high, but we took a long time to get there. 3-3 draw. It finished. The positive is we're unbeaten in four. The sort of negative flip on that is it's three draws against teams. I guess we should be in terms of league position. We should be really looking at beating. You know, we're two down against East Fife, come back and drew 2-2, 1-0 down against Clyde, and it was a late-on goal that we needed there as well to get a draw, and obviously the 3 doing it half-time to 4-4, and we've come back and drawn 3-3, so really, there's an argument to say we've lost 6 points. The other side of them is we say, well, we've actually gained 3.
Yeah, I mean, the good thing is we never give up, and they keep fighting right till the end, but my word, how much tighter could the title be had we not given teams a two-goal head start or been sloppy in the first half an hour? It's mm-hmm. It's frustrating. And I thought on Saturday, and I'm still thinking now, is it a point gained or is it two drop? Because you said at the start of the game, you'll draw 3-3 with 4-4. You probably think, well, that's 2 points drop. But the way the game's gone and being 3-0 doing at half-time, somebody said you'll get a point, you'd have probably, you know, you'd have bitten your hand off for it. But, as you said, factor that in with a draw at Clyde and a draw at East Fife, it then starts becoming, you know, it's, you know, one win out of four, and that one win was Stenny. Frustrating, but, you know, you look at the positive, it is a point, but, you know, considering that we're 3-0 down.
The other positive is you get value for your money when you come to watch Peter Head, because you certainly get goals. And the entertainment right up to the final whistle.
Yeah, we didn't do many nil-nils, to be fair. And yeah, there's normally goals in a game with 4-4, is there? You know, going back this season, there's been a few goals as well. So, yeah, but just disappointed when I've been able to keep it tighter at the back.
Three changes to the game against Clyde. Scott Ross dropped out because of injury. Hamish Ritchie and O'Keefe went to the bench. Rory McAllister came back in again, so did McKee, and David Wilson replaced Scott Ross at the back. And it was also great to see Kieran Gibbons on the bench as well. He was the first time that he's been in the matchday squad since he joined back in the summer. So lots of sort of positives with him coming on the bench as well. But the bench in general, on Saturday, you look at that bench and go, that's a few players there that could easily be starting.
Yeah, we've been through a period where we struggled with injuries, but now we seem to have a proper quality and depth on the bench as well, I should say. I'm delighted that Kieran Gibbons was on it. You know, we came that he's done a lot of work behind the scenes. We've spoken to him a few times over the last couple of months as well. So a lot of good work he's been doing behind the scenes. He's getting that reward for it now. He managed to get a place on the bench. His fitness is getting better every week as well. So, and it is that exact cliche. It is that a new signing. Obviously, he hasn't played a game for us competitively. So yeah, it'd be good to get him on the pitch hopefully sooner rather than later. And yeah, the quality on the bench is certainly improving.
and we'll come on to it later when we preview the other two games, but the bench that we've got or had in Saturday as well, you would think that the vast majority of them will be used over the course of the next 7 days.
Yeah, I would think so. We've mentioned it before, if we've been a wee bit depleted, that the three games within a week certainly test this. I'm sure that Ryan and Jordan will be making a few changes for Tuesday and then subsequently on Saturday.
It could have been a completely different game altogether had we taken the lead within 10 minutes. Keenan Shanks was the opportunity. Mark McCollum coming up with a great save, as you'd expect for a keeper of McCollum's quality. But you know, great work for McAllister to set him up, and you know, Shanks does well. Doesn't take the snap shot, creates a bit of space for himself, but just that is, I wouldn't even say it's hesitation, but just that gives McCollum enough time to race off his line and close down the space.
Yeah, and especially against McCollum, who's a very, very good goalkeeper. You know, he's been at Forth for a wee while now, and he's very good shot stopper. As you said, Keenan's slight hesitation, just that fraction of a second, but it gave McCollum just that enough time to close the angle down. But yeah, Keenan did everything right. He's got it on target, and he's made the keeper save it. That's all you can ask.
And I talked last week to Logan when he was previewing the game, and obviously Rusty being back last for. And we did sort of tongue in cheek say, well, look, if you're a betting man, one of the bets you would have would be Rusty to score. The other one was of course getting a red card, but obviously that didn't come to fruition. But you know, on 13 minutes, like it was predicted, Rusty did get the first goal, and it was a tidy wee finish for him. However, I think it was just a little bit of sloppy defending. For ourselves, or certainly a soft team to be given away.
Yeah, I mean the bar's just sort of lumped into an area, really, is it, on the edge of the box. It's not dealt with well, and you know, McLean, right place, right time. So it's a good finish, but yeah, I think I'm disappointed that when I sort of reacted well enough to it, when I'd been first to it, when I cleared our lines, and it's fallen nicely to him, but he's still got a lot of work to do for that angle just inside the box. Yeah, he's put it away nicely. You can tell he enjoyed it. Fair celebration on both his goals. Sometimes players are a wee bit reserved. Nae, Rusty, he made it known he was delighted to score. So, yeah, disappointed with that one.
Yeah, there was nae going to be any qualms about him sort of curtailing the celebrations any at all with that one as well. And in a funny way, I'd much prefer to see that rather than the what we seem to be getting new for folk dinner celebrate.
If I was a player and he scored for Arsenal and he basically ran the hell length of the Etihad.
Oh, Adebayor.
Aye, that's the sort of celebrations you like against your former teams. None of this playing it down. Proper celebrations.
That's what you like. And I just, it means it was against us, so you sort of...
Well, yeah.
I will say he did get a bit of stick for the ultras as well throughout the game, or certainly through the first half, which I think maybe just kind of riled him up a little bit in there, and that's why he with the second goal, he sort of celebrated at that end.
Yeah, I mean, you give a player a bit of stick, it's part of the game, as long as you're not getting too over the top, but... You know, and sometimes it'll G a player on. Certainly with McLean, you can, he's got that bit between his teeth. He's got a point to prove, but he also wants to get one over on the club. And, you know, he certainly did that with his two goals on Saturday.
Morrison with the second one on 37. It's a bit of luck, maybe, on this one in terms of forfar. The cross sort of coming in and deflecting off of Ryan Strachan, I think it was, and it fell to Morrison. But again, he's got a bit to do. He's facing away for goals, and he's hit the turn, hit the shot on the turn, and fired it past McKenzie.
I thought it was a good finish, to be fair. As you said, he had a bit of work to do. When he takes the first touch, he's going away from goal, and he sort of had to twist his whole body. I think McCarthy's unlucky as well. I think he's the closest man to it. I think any contact he gets in it, the bar doesn't go past McKenzie. I think it would have been a decent block, and he was just unlucky. Can't mind whether... Did it just go slightly under his body or through the legs? It was one of the two, but I think if he makes contact with it, yeah, it's certainly going to be going in.
And, you know, we're sort of begrudging our luck a little bit. You know, we played pretty well. You know, getting into good areas. You know, we were you know, we're playing 4-4-2, Jack Brown particularly on the right hand side getting acres of space, Danny Strachan getting a lot of space to that right hand side early on, without this really sort of troubling McCallum other than that one for Shanks. And then at the other end it was starting to be a bit of a concern. If they had they scored again before half time, you would have thought, well, they probably did deserve it, and that's exactly what happened. Rusty got his second, and this time it's a cross coming in for the left hand side, and he's got in between the two centre halves and got a header, a stooping header, low down into the corner.
Yeah, really low header, considering the height of Rusty. It's a very good finish. From a point of view, very frustrating as well. I think that's, I mean, every goal can be preventable, but I think this one, I think the ball comes in, there's too big a gap between the defence, and then Rusty's in between it, and then they're still nifty, you know, within a couple of yards of him. I just think that aims a wee bit more preventable, probably more disappointing, especially the time of the goal as well, just coming up to half time. You want to try and, you know, get in at 2-0 down, it's not insurmountable, you can come back for 2-0 down. Obviously we came back for 3, but it would have regained ourselves a much easier task trying to do it. But yeah, that's the one that, when you look back out of the 3 goals, I think that's the one that's probably more frustrating.
I just wonder if, had Scott Ross been playing, or even Jason Brown had been playing, and they'd been picking him up, and this is not to say that David Wilson had a bad game against them, but I just wonder if they may have been a little bit smarter with him. You know, they would have known him a wee bit more than maybe if David Wilson would have done. They would have been a bit more aggressive towards him, and Jason definitely would have been more aggressive to him. There were spells in the second half in particular. He did spend a lot of time on the deck. But I think maybe just the experience of Scott Ross or Jason Brown may have prevented those goals. Maybe not, but you just think to yourself, it might have been a different story.
Possibly, yeah. I mean, working at Jason likes to play in the front foot. He likes to, you know, make the striker know that he's going to be in for a game. And I think there are certain games you look at a striker and you go, that matchup with Jason Brown would be a really good game. And I think, you know, Russell McLean and Jason Brown, they've always had their tussles in the past. It's always been competitive. And I think if the two of them come up against each other on Saturday, that goal might have been preventable. Who knows? It's all hypothetical. But like you said, I think maybe with Scott and Jason being there, it might have been a more physical battle than what Davy Wilson would maybe prefer. I think Davy's probably better as a ball-playing defender. He likes to come out for the back and try and play it rather than get involved in tussles. But if Jason were there, yeah, maybe a different story. But, you know, nonetheless, he wasn't playing when we found ourselves 3-0 down at the interval.
Yeah, and really starting to feel sorry for Stuart McKenzie as well, because, you know, he plays pretty well. You know, he had 2 or 3 good saves in that first half as well, you know, keeping the score down. But, you know, he finds himself picking the ball with net more games than not. I think he's only gotten 6 clean sheets since he's arrived in 40 plus games, so it's not a great record, but it's not really just due to him. I guess maybe just some of the quality of the finishes have had the beating of him.
Yeah, that stat doesn't quite tell often, does it? It's quite deceiving. It's funny you should mention that, because I've actually got written in my notes, found the score of being at Stuart McKenzie, and they made the 3 really good saves. Mm-hmm. And I think that shows far we're at. I mean, if you go back to the game that we had doing there in October, again, it was Stuart McKenzie for 20 minutes, so it was keeping us in that as well. So he makes a lot of really good saves, and I think if it hadn't been for Stuart, it would have been a lot worse off this season. He's kept us in a lot of games at crucial times, come up with some really big saves. And I think he did that again on Saturday, because had it gone 4-0 at any point, you know, that was a game over, dead and buried.
There was no changes at the break, which is a bit of a surprise, considering we're 3-0 down, and more so because Hamish and Caleb were stripped and ready to go. But they sort of kept the starting 11 as was, and, you know, we got the early goal back again, is exactly what we needed at the start of the second half. And this comes down for exactly what I was talking about earlier on, you know, getting the width, Jack Brown getting a lot of space down the right hand side. And getting the cross in, it's a fairly simple goal when you look at it. It's getting the ball out wide. Jack doesn't try and beat his man. He just tries to get half a yard of space to get a cross in. Exactly what he does. And McAllister finishes it off. And as I said, gives us the ideal start to the second half.
Yeah, and there for the first time, we get the ball out wide, we get it into the box, and we get the result of it, and we get a goal. You mentioned it, you know, a couple of weeks back. It's a very simple game in terms of you get the ball out wide and get it in the box. You're going to create a lot of chances. You're going to get your reward for it. And yeah, Jack Brown doing what he does best. He doesn't try to be too clever about it. He puts it into the right area. Rory's coming onto it. Really good finish on the run as well. And at the right time, you know, just, you know, 5-6 minutes into the second half, they needed a response. They needed something. And thankfully, we've also got the, you know, the fourth goal in the game and brought it back to 3-1.
And Shanks will take a bit of credit as well, because he just steps over and leaves it to run behind McAllister, who's in a slightly better position. Whether or not he got a shout from McAllister, or if it was just instinctively knew he was there, I don't know. And maybe that's the result of their partnership working.
Probably a bit of both. He probably realised that McAllister would be in and around that area. But he's also got that awareness and cleverness to be able to leave the ball with. He maybe did get a shout, I don't know. But if he did, he's done right. He's left it. He's almost played a dummy of some sort. You know, he's gone towards the ball, left it. And we've got the rewards of McAllister finishing it.
And I think McAllister really should have been back on the score sheet again. You know, two headers, one off the crossbar and one wide. Really should be sticking at least one of them away. And then again, it's a different game altogether. But he'll be massively disappointed that he hasn't gotten at least another one with those, you know, the gilt-edged chances for him, really.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. For a player like Rory McAllister, they are gilt-edged chances. You know, some strikers, you maybe think, well, it's a difficult chance, but for him, that for him is bread and butter. I've actually got written here on McAllister, and he hit the bar at 3-1. That was probably the one that you thought, the fact that he'd scored the first one as well, with a good finish, confidence is up in the game, you'd have probably, you know, thought he'd have scored it. Looking back, he'll probably disappoint himself that he hasn't scored and gotten a second goal. But that was maybe the moment that you thought things might have just swung in our favour had he, you know, scored to go 3-2 up, 3-2 behind, sorry.
Yeah, you're thinking as well, because he's hit the crossbar and then he set that one wide, and so, well, that maybe that's it, and maybe that's the lot gone, and time was running out as well. But then Flynn Duffy got his first Peter Head goal, getting us right back into the game. Andy McCarthy with a cross this time to the back post, and to be honest with you, it's a really good finish for Duffy with his right foot, I suppose, with the weaker foot. He just sort of ghosts in at the back post. McCarthy spotted his run, really good cross for him. Not the first time we've seen McCarthy getting good crosses for that sort of area as well.
No, he's done it a couple of times for Jordan Brown this season as well. Okay, when he got one goal, there was also one that was ruled off that he didn't get a while back as well. So yeah, not for the first time McCarthy can pick you up a cross. Really deep cross in the box, and as you said, a really good finish by Flynn Duffy, coming up on his right foot, as you said, so-called weaker foot. But just that presence from Flynn Duffy as well, obviously he's a, by rights, he's a defensive player, he's not that attacking-minded, and you know, especially in the box going forward. But you see the cross coming in, he sort of just, as you said, ghosted in, nobody really picks him up, and that first-time finish, probably why, you know, the fact that it's a first-time finish, it probably catches the keeper a wee bit unawares. Didn't have time to set himself. It was just over the top of the defender's head as well, but a really, really smart finish.
Yeah, and it maybe would have been easy for him to try and chest it, doing to take it on his left foot instead. And obviously, again, like what I said about Shanks' effort earlier on, it maybe just gives McCallum that extra time to get himself set or even try and close in his face. But no, it was a really good finish, and that, you know, really got us going. You could tell that the four fans were starting to get a bit antsy, kind. The substitutions that McKinnon had been making as well, obviously trying to, you know, shut up shop, and it really wasn't working out for them, because it was just one-way traffic for a vast majority of that second half.
Yeah, especially once we got the second goal, we saw a wave after wave of attack. Substitutions didn't go doing well with the 4-4 supporters, as you'd expect. You know, you're 3-0 up at half time, you're pretty much cruising in the game. And then the fact that the changes were very defensive minded, you'd have thought they might have tried and go for a fourth and just kill the game off. But at 3-2, it was one way traffic, and there was only going to be, if there was going to be a sixth goal in the game, it was obviously the way it was going, it was going to come for us.
And Duffy was involved with a penalty shout just before or just after he scored as well. He was booked for a dive for simulation. From our sort of perspective, at the time it looked like a dive. I've seen it again, it's maybe not as blatant as what it was made out to be. You could maybe put this one under the guise of, well, it's not a penalty, but certainly not a dive as well.
Yeah, 100% agree. I don't think it's a penalty, I don't think it's a dive, but my worry is we seem to be picking up on maybe a... Is that a slight reputation we're now getting for referees that, you know, once a player is doing that the referee deems to be 50-50, nae quite a penalty, nae a dive, we seem to be picking up bookings for it. You know, it's not the first time, like McCarthy said it, McAllister, McCain's definitely had two of them. Obviously, you had Flynn Duffy on Saturday. You don't want to be picking up a reputation of it. I think it's a coming together. I don't think it's a penalty. But I would say if it's 10 yards further back and it's a free kick, you would get the free kick for that, whereas you didn't get a penalty. But then I want that reputation starting to become ruin the club. That would be my only worry.
I think as well, given the timing of the incident and the scoreline at the time, the referee's maybe just thinking in his head that that Flynn's thrown himself down looking for a cheap penalty.
Possibly, but I still think there's a bit of contact. Like I said, I don't use a dive. I certainly don't use a penalty. If I was given against this, you're livid with it. But I don't think the referee's in a good position, to be fair, as well. He's a lot closer to the action than fit we are. So you've sort of got to agree with the referee, unfortunately.
And just as we're thinking that the time was running out, although with this team you never sort of give up any hope. We did get the equaliser right to death. Alfie Stewart with his first goal for Peterhead is with the finish this time. Goldie with the cross. It was nothing short of what we deserved.
Yeah, we deserved it, especially second half performances, the chances we created. I just want to go back one pass further. Was it Peter Pollock that played the pass that basically took out the hail, like the pitch?
I've got that in my notes as well.
It was an incredible pass. Oh, you see Caleb Goldie's cross coming in the box, but when you go a step further back, that is the quality that you're looking for. Somebody can just unlock the defence, and he's done it by taking out easy 7-8 players by two passes, taking out two light, two bunks of four. Really great way to pass as well. Caleb Goldie coming onto it, and then Alfie Stewart, right place, right time. You know, he's got that thriving determination to get in the box around the penalty spot, and he's put away a really good finish. Very composed for a young man as well, given the stage of the game as well.
Yeah, and again, supposedly on his weaker foot as well, and his weaker right foot as well. But absolute pandemonium in that corner after the game. Jubilation scenes, I believe, is what the youngsters would be saying. But as I said, nothing short of what we deserved.
No, yeah, we did deserve it, and that's why you're probably thinking it's a point gained, which it rightly is. We've been 3-0 down, but then you go back to Keenan with a chance in the first half. McCullough made a good save. McAllister with going wide and hitting the bar. You're slightly disappointed you're not come away with a 4-3 win. Well, we had chances. Certainly chances in the game to be it, even in the first half. With a couple of chances to score. So, yeah, looking back on it, if you can tighten things up at the back, then, going forward, we seem to be in a much better place than I think we were in December.
And the fact that Goldie's come off the bench, provided a cross for Alfie Stewart for the equaliser, just shows you that the difference that substitutions can make and having that quality throughout your squad, and they just bringing players in just for the sake of filling the bench. These players can come off the bench and make an impact.
Yeah, and that's something we've said all along. Obviously, Alfie and Flynn's just come in the club in the last. Last month or so, but we've got players that can, on their day, that can change games, and you do not feel this season that you take a player out and you put a player in, you feel weaker. There has maybe been games that it's been tougher, the lack of options on the bench. We'll touch on it with Jamie last week. Sometimes we only get 3 or 4 subs. Does make it difficult, but we've got a lot of quality in the bench now. As we said, players like Caleb and Alfie Stewart come off the bench. You've got guys that can change the game. That's exactly what you're needing for your bench.
And Alfie, for such a young guy, just seems to be so accomplished already. He's got a massive future ahead of him. Whether or not that's going to be able to or maybe beyond. But you talk about Pollock's pass for Goldie for the equaliser. Stewart could in the sort of few minutes, it was longer than a few minutes, but some of the passes that he was making, some of the passes that he was trying to create, nobody else in that sort of Peterhead team would be able to pick out those passes. He's got such an eye already, such an intelligence already as well. He's going to be a player for the rest of the season and, you know, beyond, for Aberdeen, if he is going to be staying. You know, obviously he's got his contract running, but, you know, if he breaks into the Aberdeen team in the coming years, but he's going to have a future on his hands.
But Neil Warnock's wishing he'd a player like Alfie Stewart, then it's, you know, he can pick out a pass and, you know, change games for Aberdeen. But whilst we've got him for the rest of this season, we've got to enjoy him. And like you said, I think he's a special talent. You know, and we've, you know, Peterhead in the last couple of seasons have got that reputation for, you know, you look at players like, so, Josh Mulligan, you know, Lyle Camden playing for Dundee in the Premiership. So we do have a basis of you put a player on loan. Yeah, sometimes it'll work out, sometimes it won't, but when it does work out, it seems to work out really well. And, you know, and hopefully Alfie will benefit for that.
And it's an exciting talent to have as well. He started out when he came off the bench Saturday. He came off the bench and it went to the right hand side, replaced Jack Brown. But then by the end of the game, he was in the centre of the park and sort of, you know, dictating the play, getting the passes forward, and always looking forward as well.
Yeah, that's exactly what you're wanting. A player that's got the confidence and the freedom to be able to pick out passes and thinking going forward. You know, sometimes I think we're not just us, but, you know, as a team, but sometimes when you watch football, everything's a wee bit labour, and your strikers and your midfielders, there doesn't seem to be that urgency and tempo, whereas Alfie seems to get the ball, and his first thought is, what positive impact can I make on the game? And, you know, that'll only be a good thing as we go for the rest of the season.
So let's get some of your thoughts on the set of this game then. Let's start with Danielle Ritchie. What happened in the first half? Fighting back to 3-3 is great and a testament to the team, but how and why are we letting in these early goals and giving ourselves such an uphill battle? Ian Spence, totally different team in the second half, could have easily won it 5-3 in the end. Neil Thompson, we were ragged in the first half with Forfar passing the ball about with Will. As has been our way, roaring back thanks to Rory McAllister. We moved the ball forward much faster after the subs came on. Alfie Stewart looks like a player in attack. Scott Ross was a miss and he may have been able to convince Rusty that he was not unplayable. Frustratingly, he had his player's head on today and not the Wurzel Gummidge one that we'd watched in his Balmour days. Luis Cardo, train wreck for the first half despite having the lion's share of possession. Second half, what a team effort, just beautiful to watch. Rory, if there was a man in the match today, he would have been it. Just worked so hard and should have gotten more goals. Must admit, when I saw the subs being made, I thought, what the heck was going on? But despite the players who came off not being deserving of it, these replacements just worked hard, adding fresh legs, and Forfar didn't know what to do with them. Scott Reid, first half, let's not talk about it. We were a total disaster. Second half, much better. Think we could have went on and won it with the chances at the end. One thing that keeps annoying me week after week is when we win a free kick, we always take it short and quick. I had a few free kicks, one in particular just outside the box. A good chance to get the ball in or even a shot, and we played it short and lost the ball. Wayne Simpson, first half, we just didn't show up at all. A couple of things I picked up on today was why, when we are defending a corner, we have 11 men within the 18-yard area. There was nobody up front to get a counter-attack. Also, quick free kicks were a bit rushed, trying to push, especially when we were chasing the game. But the team spirit in the second half was brilliant. Both halves, we were on top possession-wise, and we should have been one up before they went in front through shanks. As something that you kind of a bugbear of yours as well is you know, getting everybody back for corners and things like that and not leaving an option up.
Yeah, it just frustrates me. I mean, you bring everybody back and say you do win it and you head it up the park, it's just going to come straight back at you. I think if you leave one person up, they will naturally take two defenders back with them as well. And it just gives you that option that if you do win it, then your striker can be a bit mobile and try and get it. Or if McKenzie, your keeper, catches it, you've got that very quick counter-attack option. By bringing everybody back, you sort of, you know that the second ball's going to come back at you. And I just think you put yourself under more pressure. There's maybe a reason why we do it, but for me, I'm always a fan of leaving at least one player up. It also takes the opposition a couple of players back as well, but yeah, it's a bugbear of mine.
Yeah, even if Jack Brown, for example, I'm not sure just how much of an influence he would be at defending corners. You'd much rather see him as one of the smart players in the team up at the on the halfway line, so that, the, as you said, if there is a quick counter, at least we've got somebody there.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and with the best will in the way, I think Jack Brown defending corners would probably be better on the edge of the box, or, you know, being further up the park by 30 yards and, you know, bringing a couple of players from the opposition back and just giving you that option of a quick counter. It won't always happen. Sometimes you'll want to slow the game down. Sometimes it wouldn't be ideal to kick a ball forward depending on the opposition. But by bringing everybody back, you sort of, you know that the second wave's going to come at you, and it's disappointing.
Yeah, I've seen teams actually leaving two up top, which is a bit risky, but as you said, it almost forces the opposition to bring at least an extra one back.
But you see, when you see teams leaving two up top, I'm assuming that they then take an extra player back, so they're almost defending with three plus a goalkeeper.
Yes, you've then got three back defending, one taking the corner. So already your options, who can, you know, who's in the box, are greatly reduced. But that's maybe one that we can maybe discuss with somebody later on as to why that there's obviously a genuine reason for it. Got another couple of thoughts. Cooling Cow, a bit of a drab first half, but once the younger players came on, that's when the game picked up and we managed to get that point. Sean Beddy, worth going down for the second half comeback, but sloppy goals in the first half, letting Rusty score. Subs made a difference. I thought Alfie Stewart looked class when he came on, and Goldie did well down the right, linking with Hamish. Jury out on Pollitt, didn't work hard enough, especially in the first half. Yeah, I'll come back to that. I'll come back to that one. Will Roberts, first half was poor, very slow to move the ball in the final third. Two of their goals were soft. Second half, we were much better. It's a great comeback, and Alfie Stewart is clearly a talent. Finally, Keith Leslie. Rusty was always going to try and spoil our afternoon. I have a mate who's a Forfa fan. He said that he should have had we should have been ahead before they scored. He also said that our centre halves were vulnerable. They also thought we'd taken off the wrong Strachan. So, yeah, point about Peter Paul. I actually thought Peter Paul had a decent game. I actually thought, because when he started out on the left-hand side, he looked as though he was finding his fitness. He was that sort of old Peter Paul of, you know, just trying to take on players, get the ball past the defenders, and, you know, the ball's maybe 30 yards in front of him, but he's got that pace to try and get back to it. As you said as well, picking out that pass for Goldie as well. He did have a great chance that he maybe snatched it in the second half. Other than that, he hasn't maybe created much for himself. But I think his work rate has been okay so far.
Yeah, was it just on that particular game, or was it based on what he's seen since he came out? I mean, kind of comment for the game on Saturday, but I think Paul, got to remember, he's competitive football for a very long time. And, you know, that was said when we signed him, that he's been a while since he played competitive football, so it would take time. I think he's a very clever player. As I mentioned right at the start, about the goal, the third one for the equaliser, that pass, you know, alone, we've gotten a point out of it from resulting from that pass. Well, the jury being out, I don't know, it depends what you're expecting from it. If you're expecting him to be up top and then create 10 goals and score 5, or whether you expect him to play passes like he did for Goldie to then finish it with the equaliser, then it depends on what you're looking for. To me, he's done okay. Has he done anything exceptional apart from the pass on Saturday? You'd probably say maybe not. But then you've got to think, well, you know, he hasn't played football in a long time. So Yeah, I'm not sure the jury's out in my opinion, but it depends on what aspect you're looking. It depends what you're wanting from Peter Pollard.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's expectation is it's the fit you're looking for. But I certainly think he's getting better in terms of what we've seen for him before. So yeah, as we said, good to see a good busload doing the road as well for the supporters club as well. The ultras were doing there as well, banging their drums as well. So good that we're getting. It seems to be getting more and more people to away games as well.
Yeah, which is really good. You know, there has been a few times this season that the bus has sold out, which is really, really good. It's all positive. Didn't happen last season. There were a lot of games that maybe wasn't a bus that went to because the form was that bad and nobody really wanted to go. So, yeah, totally different this season. We've seen it up at Elgin. We've seen it doing it at Forfar as well. It's a really good view. And, yeah, we're thankful for the supporters club to be able to provide it.
Okay, so before we move on to this week's two games, we've got Friday Live coming up again this month, this week, on Friday the 23rd. This time round, we will have Danny Strachan with us from 7 o'clock. As usual, you can watch that live on our Facebook. Looking forward to this one, as usual. And it's been a while since we've spoke to Danny, so it'll be good to get a wee bit of a catch-up with him. You know, since he's been here, you know, on a permanent basis, since signing his 3-year deal as well in the summer, and you know, just exactly his role, you know, within the community as well. He's sort of well liked within the community. It was good. It was interesting that the youngsters are, you know, sort of, you know, chatting his name during the warm ups and things like that as well. So it'll be interesting to see how he's, you know, developing on that kind of side of things as well.
I think Danny was, you'll probably can bear me, I think Danny was one of our first teams that we spoke to, wasn't he? Through the COVID season, or just after, once everything was back, we spoke to him in the bar area. Come across quite shy, but once he starts yapping, he's a lot more relaxed. And yeah, looking forward to this. Yeah, a local loon, a guy that's, you know, well known in the town as well, which is a really good thing. And as you said, a lot of work with the schools. We've said numerous times now that the youngsters are the future of the club. These are the guys and girls that will be there for the next 10, 15 years, or you hope. And yeah, he does a lot of good work. So I'm really, really looking forward to seeing, you know, actually how much work goes into it and, you know, the things that he does behind the scenes.
So as I said, that'll be on Friday. And as ever, you can get your comments and questions into him during the show as well, and we'll get as many questions as we can to him, and that's for Friday at 7 o'clock. So on to this week's two games then. We've Bonnyrigg on Tuesday, then we have Elgin on Saturday. We'll briefly touch on Bonnyrigg because you may have already watched the Bonnyrigg game before you've listened to this week's episode, but it's safe to say, and this goes for both games really, it's we really need to stop giving away these leads first before we start turning up and trying to you know, make it difficult for ourselves.
Is with the power of editing, is this where we say it was a great win, and then we pause and say we're disappointed we've gotten beat, or it's a draw, we'll take it? I think going on our form is, yeah, we've come back in games and we've gotten something from it, but I think this is two really important games. We've struggled a wee bit against Bonnyrigg this season. They've sort of got our number a little bitty. Be good to get a win over them again. Probably a couple of bits of rotation, I would think. I think they'll use the bench like they did on Saturday, maybe bring a couple of players in, and then obviously you've got the Elgin game on Saturday. Totally different Elgin team if it were played at Balmour back in September, October, sort of time we realised, you know, what they can do when we played them in December. So, yeah, be two tough games, but I certainly think you've got to be going into it with confidence. You know, we've just come back for 3-0 down. I think confidence will be high, but we need to start the game well and, you know, cut out the silly mistakes and giving teams a one goal start.
In terms of Bonnyrigg, they're struggling to score goals at the minute as well. You know, since they beat Falkirk in the Cup, they've played 5 games, and 4 of those games they've blanked. Only the 2-0 victory against Elgin was the game they scored. So at the minute, struggling to score goals. but we're a team that are struggling to stop goals.
Yeah, I mean, I always worry when I hear stats like that. That team and I scored four in their last five games, and then because you just can't find 7 minutes gone 1-0 Bonnie Rigg. But it might be the right sort of team to play if they're struggling to score goals. Is it because their strikers aren't performing well, or are they struggling to create chances? In which case, if we keep it tight, then it gives you a really good platform to go and get the win. So, yeah, maybe a good time to be playing Bonnie Rigg.
So, when Bonnie Rigg score the first goal on Tuesday night, you're just going to turn around and say to me, "Tell you,
hold yourself." Yeah, hopefully not. I don't want to concede a goal. You want to win the game and keep a clean sheet, because we've been, you know, all joking aside, we've gotten points from it, but we've been pretty leaky the last 3-4 weeks. Be good to keep a clean sheet and get the confidence back. As I said, maybe a good time to play Bonnie Rigg.
And we needed a late Shanks penalty the last time they were up here to win the game 2-1, and then obviously the 1-1 down there in that horrendous head pitch. So I would expect it to be another tight game, but, you know, given the confidence that we've had after Saturday's game, you never know. And the fact that, you know, we've got, I believe, a better squad now than we did even to that game in December.
Yeah, and I think we've got more options that we can now use as well. Even coming from the bench, but just in general, on the park, we've got better options. I think we can win the game. I certainly do, but it all depends how we start. Depends how many changes Ryan and Jordan want to make as well. Do you want to try and keep it pretty much the same team that maybe finished the game against Swarford on Saturday and build on that momentum that we've got, and then change it after an hour mark, or do they make a couple of changes, 4 or 5 changes, and then change it after, you know, 50, 55 minutes? Again, it'll depend. I think Ryan touched on it in his post-match, and they'll look at it yesterday and today, see who's got niggles and everything, and then assess it from there.
It's for game in hand as well, so this is where we're sort of final opportunity to try and cut this gap. I know it's 16 points, obviously, Steny, we're held on Saturday, but, you know, if we can cut this down to 13, going into the weekend's fixtures again, you know, and you never know what might happen, but if we fail to pick up a win here, I think that could pretty much, you know, any lingering hopes that we've got of catching them may just disappear.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, I think it's all but done anyway, to be fair, unless Steny absolutely capitulate. However, we have seen it before. Was it Dumbarton last season?
Yeah.
They were cruising at the top of League 2 and then somehow managed and they get promoted. Stranger things have happened, but, you know, getting over the finishing line can sometimes be the toughest part of sport. So, yeah, you never know. Whilst you've still got a chance, you've got to keep at it. But it's one game at a time, but we've got to try and beat Bonnie Rigg.
So, having played Bonnie Rigg on the Tuesday, we now play Elvin on the Saturday. And again, this will be a completely different game from the previous ones that we've had. You know, we absolutely smashed them 6-0 up here at the beginning of the season. Then went there just before New Year and lost 2-1. And again, in a game where we really didn't play well at all, but during that spell where we're really struggling for form and for players as well. So this will be a completely different game again altogether.
Yeah, but they've got a bit of confidence now. They've started to pick up results since their new manager got in. Their results have been good. Performances have been very good as well. Sometimes they haven't managed to get the victory, but they've had a really good performance to try and get it. So, yeah, a totally different game to what we had here in September. I don't think it'll be anything like the 6 goals that we put past them before. You just need to look back, as we said, the game at New Year. We played really, really poor, difficult conditions. But it was the same for both teams. We just struggled with players. But, you know, got a lot of players back now. Things are looking a lot better. And if we can keep that a clean sheet, keep it tighter at the back, then I see no reason why we can't beat Bonnie Rigg and Elgin.
And as you said, Alan Hale's come in and sort of changed the form. He said 12 games, won 5, drawn 1 and lost 6. But 3 of those 6 were in his first 3 games. So, I mean, you could say in his last 9, he's only lost 3 times and won 5. So that's, again, where a change of manager has come in. And he's changed the squad quite a bit as well, bringing in a few players for the Highland League as well.
Yeah, his first couple of games was in December, wasn't it, when he couldn't make any changes to his squad that he wanted. So now that he's got his end player thing, they're starting to sort of reap the reward of it, as you said, five wins in that time as well. So a game need to take lightly. Again, folk will think, oh, but we beat them 6-0 at Balmour. Totally different, a lot of new players in, a different manager for first of all, different tactics it'll come with. So yeah, difficult games, but you know, I still expect us to win.
And that one draw that he's picked up so far was on Saturday against Steny, 2-2. So he managed to hold the league leaders.
Yeah, it was no easy feat. A lot of teams have tried and failed. As you said, Alan Hill has managed to get it, and that will, you know, they'll get a lot of confidence for that as well. Maybe it hasn't been a win, but you know, they've managed to stop the champions elect in February to a draw. So yeah, they'll take massive credit and belief from it.
And in terms of Peter Heath's team selection, I guess we'll be dependent on how we get on Tuesday. You know, does everybody get through without any injuries, pick up any suspensions, etc. So, like I said earlier, you know, the squad that we've got, the bench we've got, they may well be getting used in these next two games.
Yeah, I certainly would think so. I think we've seen it before. Is this the third time now we've played three games in a week? And you do start to notice by the time it gets to the third game that some of the legs have just maybe slightly gone. Some of the players are heavy pitches, especially this time of year as well. It's not easy. I expect Ryan and Jordan will make a few changes. But that's why you've got a big squad and you've got quality in it. You've got to be able to use it at the right time. And I think they'll do that.
It's imperative that we get 6 points out of these next two games. It's imperative that we try and put on a 90-minute performance rather than just, you know, the 45 or 50-minute performances that we seem to have been doing recently, and try and make sure that we keep Steny honest as much as possible, and they allow, just sort of hand it to them. Make sure that they are still working for it.
Yeah, we'd have a very good start to the season, and also things went a wee bit pear-shaped towards end of November, start of December, and then throughout, and it's been tricky, but we've got quality in the squad. As you said, try and keep Steny honest. They've got to, I want to say earn it, because I think they have already. They've been they've gone a fantastic run, you know, 12 games winning or whatever it was, 14. And they've done really well, but you know, just keep at them, keep game by game getting the wins. And yeah, I think we'll do okay. Whether we can claw back the deficit that's said already, maybe a wee bit step too far, but you know, you just got to keep winning games one by one.
Okay, now to talk about Saturday's game, to get his thoughts, is Andrew Watt. Andrew, good to talk to you again. How are you?
I'm fine, you?
I'm grand, yeah. We're just saying, earlier on, Martin and myself were enjoying the sort of lighter nights. You're a wee bit further north, it's maybe as light at 5 o'clock just now, is it?
It's fine to get home in the light instead of getting home in the dark, playing after.
Yeah, that's what we were just saying as well. And talking of, you know, lights at the end of tunnels and things like that, things are picking up for you guys since the last time we really talked. We didn't obviously get a chance to preview the game in December, but new manager at the helm, things have picked up quite a bit.
The form's been good. A lot's changed since the last time I was on here. I think 10 points from the last 18 available, so can't really complain. Good performance at the weekend as well, holding the league leaders. I think we're quite unlucky not to take the 3 points, but you can see why they're top. I think it's 16 points ahead. Showed that quality in the second half, but overall, can't complain.
So what's the difference been then since Alan Hale's come in? What's he changed? What's the mentality been different?
Everyone's buying into his ideas. We look like a team. We're well drilled. Everybody knows their jobs. And there's just, I don't know the right word, but there's stability is the right word. There's a stability about the club now. It was a bit of a turmoil for the start of the season. Obviously, we had Barry Smith the last time we were up through you guys, and then Ross Draper came in again, and then Alan Hales came in with Stefan, and things are looking up, and I'm looking forward to coming through on Saturday.
There's a lot of personnel change on the park as well. He's brought in a few players for the Highland League. He's moved a few players on as well. Was those changes necessary, did you think?
I think so. We found ourselves bottom of the league earlier in the season, but since the new players have came in, it's just gave new life to the team and the boys that were already there, and things are looking up, so happy days.
And it's so tight, you know, between fifth and ninth, if you like, not sort of including Clyde, because they're sort of cut adrift a little bit, but it's so tight. A couple of good results either way, you could be back up to maybe fifth or sixth.
I was just looking before I came on. I think there's only 2 points between ninth and fifth, and then we're only 8 points off a fourth, but we're still 10 points off the bottom. So it just shows how tight a league it is. And as you say, a couple of results and things can change for the better or the worse.
Yeah, as you said, the results are going well. We were talking earlier on, 12 games. I think Alan Hales had his manager. Won 5, lost 6, drawn 1. 3 of those losses were at the start when he lost 3 in a row, but since then it's obviously picked up. And I guess you're sort of looking up the way now rather than, you know, looking at what Clyde are doing.
You still look over the shoulder a little bit, but I would like to think that we're more looking forward than looking backwards. The couple of defeats you mentioned at the start, and that was just coming in and learning the team and learning how we play and individuals. But once he's had a few training sessions, you can see the difference week on week. Even now, the team, they're so well gelled and everybody knows their jobs, so it's all good.
It's almost like you're getting form at the right stage of the season, whereas maybe like a Clyde and Forfar, for example, are struggling a little bit, and you're picking up these points, and as you said, picking up a decent point against Steny on Saturday.
It's quite unusual for us, because I think we're usually the start of the season quite well and then have a bit of a drop off after Christmas. So it's, as you say, we've picked up and we've probably just done it at the right time, so we've got that gap to Clyde, but we're looking up and hopefully we can get a positive result on Saturday.
Well, you certainly got a positive result the last time the two sides met, 2-1 at Wiz up the road just before New Year. What did you make of that game? What did you make of the performance?
I think that's one of the best performances we've had under Alan Hale so far. I think last week down at Spartans, we got our first away win. Probably the best moment of the season, but in terms of an overall performance from goalie to striker to everyone in between, I think that's probably the best so far.
Were you surprised? You maybe weren't a surprise, but given the positions in the leagues of the two sides, were you surprised at how poor maybe Peterhead were on that day?
I think you just covered it there. I was more surprised at how poor you guys were. You can see you've obviously got some quality players at the top end of the pitch, and you didn't create very much, I thought. Mm. And I just thought Elgin looked more hungry and maybe wanted it a bit more. Maybe just wanted to prove we actually can get a result against you guys, because our record isn't very great.
It was such a surprise, because we were struggling a little bit at that time, struggling for wee injuries and things like that. But Elgin certainly for me didn't look as though they were a side that were struggling at the bottom end of the table. They should have really been higher, but given that was under the new manager.
Well, it's funny you say that, because a lot of people I've spoke to from like Stenish, Muir, Spartan fans or teams up the kind of top end of the league, they've kind of said the same thing, the way that Elgin have performed. So maybe performances sometimes just haven't had the results that we merit, but hopefully that's going to come between now and May, and hopefully we'll be safe and won't have to look over the shoulders. Look up the way.
Is it just a case that you're performing well, but maybe not scoring the goals or getting creating enough chances to score the goals?
You could say that. We defended well as well, so I think the basis of a good team is to keep it tight at the back. I don't think we've scored more than 2 goals in a league game this season. I might be wrong there. But we tend to be under Alan Hale, built from the back, strong at the back, and then nick the odd goal here and there. But I would like to see us put teams away. It's probably my only criticism, mm-hmm. if I've got a criticism so far. We've not really put teams away, and games have been a bit more nervy than I would like.
The last time you were up at Baltimore, obviously, it ended quite badly for you. So it was,
I'm not talking about that.
It was 6-0. Was that as bad as it could have been for you that day?
Well, that's not the lowest point of the season. We got beat off of Genefield Swifts in the Cup. That was probably the lowest, but that and Peterhead. But we'll forget about that one. We'll gloss over that one. We were poor. We were really poor. Inky scoring the 2 goals in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Just killed any chance, really. And then I think there was a kind of spell where you didn't score. Was it 2-0 half-time, 3-0 half-time?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
And it looked like we could maybe get a goal and get back into the game, but then the second half kicks off, and as soon as you get the third goal, it's game over, really. And it's just a case of trying not to make it like a cricket score like it was, but that didn't happen.
I take it you won't be expecting that again on Saturday then?
Well, hopefully not. Hopefully more of a positive result if we can keep it tight for the first 20 minutes. And then build from there, I would be happy with that. Hopefully nick a goal, but we'll see. As long as it's not a repeat.
It's if you've been keeping an eye on Peterhead's results recently, you will have noticed that, you know, we tend to give the opposition a bit of a lead first before we start. So how crucial do you think that the first goal may be on Saturday?
First goal's crucial in any game, so hopefully with our record through there, we can maybe get the goal and give you boys something to think about. I've seen you had a 3-3 draw at the weekend. I've seen some of the goals from that, so that kind of gives me a little bit of hope and optimism that we can maybe capitalise on some of that mistakes at the back.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll just see what happens. As you say, though, the first goal is absolutely massive.
And are we expecting a big crowd to come down for Elgin again? I think there was a decent support there the last time.
Yeah, we had I think it was about 70 people through last time, so hopefully more or less same again. We've got a bus running through. I'm not too sure on the numbers, but I think the numbers are okay. Obviously, got a few days to go,
mm-hmm.
so hopefully we get some more names before the weekend, but hopefully it'll be about the same again, and we can get a positive result.
Yeah, and you never know, we might see you in the bar again like we did the last time.
That's a definite. That's a definite.
And make sure you get us a pint this time, huh?
First round's on you.
Right, on that note then, Andrew, thanks very much for coming on. Pleasure to talk to you. We will catch up again towards the end. I think it's the second last game of the season, or the third last game of the season we've got. Maybe we'll catch up again then.
Thank you for having me on.
That is it for this week. We do hope you have enjoyed it. My thanks goes to Andrew Watt for joining me to preview Saturday's game against Elgin City, and to Martin Smith for being here as always. Thank you everyone for listening and for your comments and questions. Do keep them coming in, we do appreciate them. Martin and I will be back again next week, so until then, stay safe and we'll see you all again very soon.